Move like you're flush when you roll with a smooth. We looking plush, it's just how we market.
Are you like sponsored?
Like, yeah, I'm an artist.
Got big hands, you know when I'm working.
I got big hands, you know when I'm working. You know when I'm working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. Working, working, working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. You know when I'm working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. Trying to stack bands, come on, let me see you twerking. Look me in the eyes, come on, let me get some working. Working, working, again, I feel like a virgin. Madonna playing all night, stick. Well, I'm done, I'll be looking for a sub. Cartel, honey, spin a bus to the club. Double red, still topped up with the mud. Henny spill a double when I run through the cut.
No, 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 get young Kamaji on the phone, get him on the phone. Yeah, she was just talking about him in front of me. Yeah. No, she's a huge man.
Living real lush, premium fantasy. Looking so luxe when I come so cussing. Flash with the red and the rouge on my lipstick. Think I'm shooting coke, cause I'm cryptic. Pretty like a pin, tryna put me in a triptych. Boy, you can't. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. You know when I'm working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. Working, 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 working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. You know when I'm working. I got big hands, you know when I'm working. Working, working, working.
Hello, everybody. This is Crowd Flip on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. How is everybody doing? I am really excited and frantically frantic because I have not been doing a show live in a while, and time management and me are enemies. But today I have a really, really, really exciting interview. And it's with drumroll, Ale Orea and Rosie Ramadi. Woo! Yeah, lots of information happening. I'm going to the first song that we are talking about is one with both of them, and it's a very unique, beautiful song. It's called Orange Juice by Rosie Ramadi and Ale Orea, the people I interviewed for this episode of Crowd Flip. I'm just going to get started and play that song first, and then we will be back.
My wings, they spread out wide. I give my heart to hands of the wind. She got lost in the sky, in its blue tint, where our eyes were fixed. No pulse on my wrist. Between us, my soul beats silly from my chest. We sit on the swing set from when we were kissed. The knowing you
Oh my goodness, angelic song by Rosie Ramati and Ale Araya. I'm just going to get started with this interview because it's pretty long. Fun little fact, I knew about Ale and Rosie separately, and then I saw the making of Orange Juice kind of come together, which is what I'm going to talk about in the interview next. And I had a vision, and I was like, what if I were to interview them both? And being the little fangirl stalker I am, I saw that they were together on like a story, and I was like, when I opened the Zoom call to interview Ale, and I said, is Rosie there? And she was. So it was really exciting. I got to speak to them both, which is okay. Yeah, I'm gonna start playing it. Enjoy. And Rosie Ramati, we got a surprise appearance from Rosie.
Yeah.
I was being a little
I randomly showed up, my fault.
I was being a little stalker fangirl and was like, I saw you with Rosie, and then to my surprise, here she is.
Rosie's with me.
Whoa.
We're actually gonna work on music today. I'm excited.
I heard you talking about that. We'll get into that in a bit. But so Citrine was your last like official release over a month ago.
Yes.
If you want to talk a little bit about how that came to be.
Of course. Me and Rosie met through a mutual friend, and I had just been asking this friend to like.
Whoa, technical difficulties. Just want to clarify. We're talking about the song Orange Juice, not Citrine. Anyways, enjoy.
Me and Rosie met through a mutual friend, and I had just been asking this friend to like kind of help me like find more women to work with, because at the time I didn't really have a lot of like women friends in music, you know. It was always men around me and stuff. And so he was like, I know this amazing like girl who's so like good and talented and like amazing songwriter, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, I'm ready, like I'm down. And so we met. And then immediately we just like clicked.
Yeah.
And we started just like getting the studio together and just like kind of messing around. Like, started making samples because my friend had been looking for some solo samples that he could clear. Mm-hmm. So we were like, oh yeah, we could make some. So we just started making
literal songs. Like, yeah. The first one we made was a literal like full out song with like lyrics. And we're like, how can we remake a Minnie Riperton song?
Yeah.
And we literally tried to do that.
Yeah.
And that led to just like,
we made a sample pack.
Yeah, so like we made all the soul samples, but also alongside that we made like ambient songs that took us like kind of like, or samples that took us like very small amount of time to just like make, because we're just like feeling a vibe. And that's when we realized, oh, like we're kind of making our own thing alongside of this. And it became more than just like, oh, we're making this sample pack for our producer friend Connie, but we're also now, you know, making our own sample pack that we can like package and sell and send to other producers.
And then that was
Orange Juice happened.
Orange Juice was on that sample pack, and then Rosie posted it on TikTok.
Well, in between, before that though, we were sending it to like, there was like a Frank Dukes Discord, and while we were making like samples, we would send those samples while we were making them like live time, like throughout the weeks, like we sent them in that Discord. And the reason I even posted Orange Juice on TikTok was because I gained the confidence from that Discord, from not only sending the samples in and people like liking them and praising them, but also we won his first like music competition, like,
oh yeah, we did,
by putting our Orange Juice sample, a few other samples, an original song of mine, we won that competition. And then I was like, okay, well, if people like it, then maybe they'll like it on TikTok. Yeah. And so I posted Orange Juice. And then everyone was like, oh my God, turn this into a song.
Yeah.
And that's how it became a song.
Yeah, then we made a song. And yeah, me and my friend Max, it was me, Max, and Rosie. Mm-hmm. We were talking. Max did the guitar. I did most of the production alongside Rosie, helping me with that. And then Rosie did a lot of like, structuring and the songwriting. And yeah, and then we birthed
Orange Juice.
That was like my, like, I need to calm down and like remember to breathe. Aww. Or it was like, I've cried to it. Your rain, crazy, Ale, like the way like listening to your discography, it's like cry, dance.
Yeah. Cry,
dance.
That's my vibe.
I think I remember seeing like the sample of Orange Juice, and that was the first thing that I was like, whoa, this sounds crazy. And then I saw like, I just followed like on TikTok it, like the process of you guys like promoting as a sample to a song, and that was like really interesting to see. Because then I guess your sound and your production style is really unique, and I know you like produce for others as well as yourself, if I'm correct. Was there like a time where it sort of like clicked for like, how did you, I know this is such a broad question and maybe you hate this question and you get it a lot, but how did you start like producing for others? I guess we can start with that first. And just like how you started in production.
So basically I started like, well, I've been playing instruments my whole life. Like I played piano growing up and also guitar. I'm still not amazing at guitar, but also bass and like random instruments like ukulele, harmonica and stuff. So I've always been like sort of more than like a songwriter and a singer. I've been like an instrumentalist as well. And I feel like that really went hand in hand with production. So when I was going to the studio as like a young teen, like 17, 18, I was like there with a bunch of men who were producing, and I was just like, oh, I can play the piano. And so I would just play the piano and like do things that were involved in production. And then eventually I would just watch them so much that I realized like I could probably do it better. And so then I started like going, I was just making beats in my room, mostly because I was like, I need to learn, like I need to be able to do this, you know, like I just have to. So I started just making a lot of beats in my room by myself. And then I remember the first person I ever produced with was this girl that, it was funny because we met on Hinge and like we went on a date, and and then she found out that I made music, and she found out I was a producer, and she was like, you're a producer? And she didn't think I was gonna be good or anything. She was just like, oh, like let me hear some of your beats, whatever. And I was like, okay. And I sent her a beat, and she was like, you made this? And I was like, yeah, like not knowing if I was good or not, you know. I was just like, yeah, I guess. And she was like, oh, what? And then so she like, I became her like her producer, and it was so funny. Aww. And so then I like made a bunch of songs for her, and I started was like getting better at producing through making songs for her, and I got more confident in it as well. And then I just started meeting a bunch of dope women creatives who were just like, I would love to get in the studio with a female, please. And I was just like, yeah, right here. and then I just started producing for like all my friends, you know, like Rosie or like my friend Rahma or Shreya Call or, you know, whoever. I've worked with a lot of rappers too, because I like was in a house, like a community called Kogo, and there was like a lot of rappers and producers around me all the time. So I was like collaborating with people like Merlin Wood and like Asha Amuno and Curtis Waters, and I was just like getting more comfortable like producing. And now I can finally say that like I could walk into any room and be like, yeah, I'm a producer, and like y'all can, I don't know.
In terms of like trying to describe some certain sounds, like I was in a similar situation where I was like, I hear it in my head and I need someone to understand what I mean when I say like I want it to sound more glittery, or I want it to sound more like fluttery, and like he wasn't getting it. So I was like,
they don't get it. They don't get it.
I was like, let me go find the sound myself. I'll find them myself. I'll do it myself. And like, I feel like there is like a sort of like different understanding, but like, some people don't have. Whether it's like they don't listen to enough music by women, or it's like I don't know, but
I feel like we have like an intuitive knowing, and that like plays into like the synastry with regards to like production and how it comes out. Like whenever I feel like we always work with women whenever we work together, and if so, like a girl said we want something sparkly, you just know, and it always is like, and it's a very collaborative environment and experience. And that's what's good about all, like, she knows how to create that and generate like a really positive and collaborative environment. And it's just an added plus that she's a woman, because you just automatically know yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like having that calmness, and then on top of that, like having that intuitive sort of like understanding of like, we're all creatives and we all have like a vision, and we just like, you don't even really need to say much for her to just kind of like understand.
Don't guess immediately.
But like, it's a little big. Like, I feel like, I don't know, it's just so hard sometimes working with men when they just don't understand, when you're like, just make it glittery, like,
make it cute.
I feel like also because like people get left out of like conversations and stuff, they will make more effort to like be inclusive. And like, I've watched your Twitch, I've seen you collab with people, you are very inclusive and like making sure that like everyone is like, the other person is also happy and like, yeah. Which is,
It's important to me. Mm-hmm. It's super important to me, especially, I've just always kind of felt like an outcast in the world. Mm-hmm. And I never really, like, growing up, I never really had like people who were like, oh, like, what does Ali think? Or like, mm-hmm. oh, like, let me make sure that she feels heard, or let me make sure that she feels like safe, or let me make sure that she, you know. So it's like, now I just make sure that if I'm in an environment that I want everybody to feel like, you know, included and like heard and seen and valued. So I'm glad you guys noticed that about me.
Of course. Wait, so you're based in LA now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you always been there? Or
yeah, this house where I'm in right now is the house I literally was transported to the day after I was born. So I've been here forever. I'm in like the valley, like Canoga Park area. I'm like in between houses right now. But yeah, I grew up like here pretty much in LA, in the valley.
Yeah. Doing
valley girl things. So
nice. Do you feel like that impacted your sound at all? Like, I feel like you mentioned before, like, being surrounded by a lot of different types of music and musicians probably, like, did impact your style. But, yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in LA, you're, like, in a mixing pot of culture, you know? And, like, there's so much culture everywhere you look and, like, in every single person. Because you could meet somebody who's, like, from anywhere, you know, like, LA is just a place where all types of people come to, all types of immigrants. My dad is an immigrant from Chile, and so I grew up with a lot of, like, Latin influence because of him, but then I was also, you know, going to, like, Agora, where I was, like, learning jazz in school, and then I also went to another school where it was, like, there was a lot of people who listened to rap and hip-hop, and, like, you know, so I just feel like there's so many different perspectives here, and it definitely like made it so I'm super multifaceted when it comes to the things that I like. Like, I like all types of genres of music, and like, obviously I gravitate towards certain things. Like, I love more sort of jazzy, and like, don't really write a lot of pop songs, even though one day
I'm gonna force it.
With the pop out, you never know.
I wanted to be Britney Spears.
You never know. But definitely it definitely like contributed to who I am, just being around so many different types of people and different tastes, and
I'm in Vancouver, that's like where the radio is, that's where I'm from in Canada, and I often complain about how boring it is. I'm starting to learn more. There's like very, very underground things if you want to get into different genres, but it's very much like a certain type of band. Yeah, but it's what it is. I always ask like anyone who's not from here, I'm like, I know it's different. I feel like you get exposed in different ways to like different types of music, rather than like go and seek out for myself like what I wanted to hear, rather than like getting to see it around town.
I'm blessed for that.
Yeah, LA is just like accessible. Like,
LA is accessible.
I feel like you can meet a lot of people that have just completely different music tastes than you, and it can just like send you down like multiple rabbit holes.
Are you also from? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I grew up in LA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Different parts of LA.
Yeah, different parts. But
Santa Monica.
Yeah. Was there a core memory of like you seeing someone and deciding like you wanted to make music, or was there a moment where you were like, I need to do this?
I have literally so the memory. No, I have the memory. So I was watching this. There, Beyonce used to do like, she did like a charity, or she's done so many, Beyonce, so many everything. Yeah. She's Beyonce, done. But like, she did like a charity event or something where she sang this song. It's like, I am the world, or something about like, it was really just really inspiring for like a young child. I was probably six, right?
Aww.
And I was watching her on my little like iPod or
iPod, yeah, Nano? Or iPod Touch.
I don't even know what it was. It was something like
Nintendo DS,
something like that. And I was in my bed in the dark watching her, and I started crying. And I was like, I just want to be a singer like Beyonce.
That's so real. Uh-oh, where are
you? No, you're good. Sorry, that was my mom. And I called my mom actually, and I was crying, and I was like, Mom, I just want to be a singer, like, aww, I just want to make music. And she was like, Ollie, you could do whatever you want in this life. And I was like, I'll never be as good as Beyonce. And
that's,
I remember,
so me.
I remember, like, I tried to sing the song that she sang, and like, I sang it with headphones in, and I took a video of me singing it, and I listened to it back, and I was like, this shit ass, like, delete. But after seeing Beyonce, I was just like, I need to be like her. I need to be Cinderella.
Hello, I'm Addy Wolf, and this is my new single, Mastery. You can go check the music video on my website, adewolf.com. That's adewolf.com. Bless.
Looking for some outdoor relaxation? Come and take a yoga class with Matt Collective. Running Mondays through Thursdays, Matt Collective offers classes and events at iconic Vancouver locations like Canada Place, Stanley Park, and Kitts Beach. Visit Matt Collective for more information. That's METcollective.com.
Music. She was the one who, like, she told me she was watching Mozart. Like, she watched a documentary about Mozart, and they said something about like the gift of music, and she was like, you know what, I'm gonna give that to my daughter, like the gift of music. Like, I want to like be able to like inspire her, or give her, that's my gift to her, you know, like as when I was like a child and maybe one or something. And she was like, I want to do that for her. And so like my mom was also somebody who was super like instrumental and like kind of pushing me towards music as well. But Beyonce, my mom. That's the queens.
What about you, there's like a core memory of you
wanting to do music?
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, I became obsessed with Amy Winehouse, like, I want to say like end of 2017. And I started teaching myself guitar then. And I would just listen to her music. And I feel like lyrically, like across all boards, she was just incredible, like lyrically, vocally. And she was also just so inventive, and no one was doing what she was doing. And even just like her image was just like really inspiring to me, and I really resonated with it. And I felt like she was able to like encapsulate big feelings without making it corny. And I thought that was like really impressive. And I just remember teaching myself, I got myself an electric guitar, and I named it Frank. Yeah, after her first album and after Frank Ocean. And so I got that guitar, so I was teaching myself how to play guitar. And then that was end of 2017. And then August of 2018, I started teaching myself how to sing. And I did all that through like YouTube and stuff. And yeah, I think as a result of Amy, I just kind of like fell in love with songwriting, fell in love with singing, and just really caring about like telling a story. I've always loved, I think Frank Ocean, my moment with falling in love with music in like a real like aha moment way was when I heard Pink Matter for the first time. It was in eighth grade, and I just like cried, and I didn't know why. And I never cried to a piece of art in my life before. Never a movie, nothing. I was like, why am I crying to this right now? And after that, I just kind of fell in love with like finding more music. And I became like a music head and a big fan of music like you. and then, yeah, but the reason I started making music was because of Amy, for sure.
Well, yeah, your voice is like incredible, like so unique, and like feels like, you mentioned Minnie Riperton, like feels like that old, like old, but it also feels modern because like the songs you make are modern and they're like about, like they feel like new emotions that wouldn't have been spoken about. did you like, when did you realize you could sing like that? Because like the way, like, you know what I mean, it's a really specific sound. Like, did you what like the vibrato and the, were you like, oh whoa?
It never registered really with me. I don't think it has still.
Rosie was in the forest and she heard a bird. And she was like, that's me for real.
No, I remember being younger and watching Shrek and like seeing Fiona like literally make that bird explode and being like, yes, please. That's me in the future now. but I don't think I've ever really come to the understanding or realization of like what my voice sounds like. I'm not really like self-aware. It's weird. But I think it was apparent to me, like I started teaching myself August of 2018. And I would just like wake up at like 4:30 because I was in college. So I would just like wake up at 4:30 to like do these like lessons before school class. And so for that class, you had to sing in front of people to get graded. And I had never sung in front of anybody. I didn't know how my voice sounded. I didn't know how much I had improved. All I had known was that 4 months ago, whenever I sang around anybody, like my parents or whatever, they'd be like, shut the fuck up, you sound terrible, like literally stop. And I was like, real, like you're so right. So I'm just gonna hide in my room and try to improve. And so I got in front of this class and I started singing Amy Winehouse. I sang There's No Greater Love and a few other songs. And this was like an opera professor. And by the end of like my performance, he's like, could you hear that? And I was like, no. He's like, exactly, I could hear a pin drop. And I was like, bro, that's like Destiny. Like, but that whole entire experience made me realize I had improved so much vocally that even an opera professor was like impressed with my voice. And I was just kind of like, whoa, like maybe I'm doing something. So I just kept doing it because he told me to keep doing it. So I was like, okay, I'll just keep doing it. And I didn't really, that was like, I want to say like end of 2019. My first cover to blow up on like TikTok was a cover I did of Cellophane. And that was like, do it for you. Yeah. And that was like, I feel like the first time I was recognized for my voice outside of like in real life. And, you know, on the internet, when things blow up, it's just kind of like surreal. And like, I felt really overwhelmed by the attention of it all. And I just remember then, even still not really feeling like my voice was that good, but like being surprised that people liked it so much. And I still get that feeling. I feel like, I don't know, the voice is always changing. I don't know if I could ever, like, I think I can definitely call myself a singer, but I don't think I could ever be like, oh my God, I'm done. Like, I never have to like improve my voice again. I feel like it's an everyday thing and I'll never really be able to be satisfied with it. But I'm always learning. I just kind of like, I still don't really recognize it. All I know is that I have vibrato. And I think Sarah Vaughn just helped me with that a lot because I'll sing along to her.
I think, yeah, that was what I was going to say, is that you are influenced a lot by like
older singers. Yeah. So like developing, the way I developed my voice was, how I do everything is I go to the root of things. And I think that's how, like when I say like, oh, I became obsessed with Amy Winehouse, I became obsessed with her and I became obsessed with her influences as well, because I wanted to be as good as she was. And I still want to be really good. So I looked to who she loved. She said she loved Sarah Vaughan. She said she loved Dinah Washington. And those are singers that she loves. And, you know, I would listen to their music. The moment I saw her say anything about Sarah Vaughan, I also had known at the time that Sarah Vaughan was Kanye West's favorite singer. And so I was just like, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. Like, this person must be a great singer, so I'm gonna try to sing like them. Like, so I put Sarah Vaughan's live performances in my vocal warm-up playlist. And so I sing along to her every single day. And that's how I developed my vibrato. And that's when my voice sounds older, because it literally was influenced by older singers. But I didn't really realize like this is strange or unique. I didn't even realize, I didn't know what vibrato was. Like, I used to babysit a little girl and she was like, oh, you have a nice vibrato. I was like, what's that? She was in second grade. She was like, you don't know what that is. Like, I literally, it's weird because I'm self-taught, I'm unaware
what I'm able to execute is, it's a weird mix.
Yeah, but even
I'm not really aware. Yeah.
Yeah. Even but, people though that do try to like mimic other singers, like through like learning by like trying to like recreate songs, aren't sometimes able to do it very successfully. But there's something about your voice. Anyway,
I feel like it's because it wasn't an effort to mimic anything.
No,
it was just me warming up my voice, and it happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that it was just like, because it was so innocent in approach,
mm-hmm.
it just happened. Like, yeah, I think it happens sometimes, but I think anyone could develop it if they wanted to. It's just a matter of approaching in the right way. Like, like I could say like, oh, I want to be a singer like Amy Winehouse. Everyone wants to be like Amy. A lot of people try to mimic Amy's voice, mm-hmm. but when you realize you can never really mimic anyone's voice or be like anyone, that's when you can really develop your and find your true voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes like, you know, that takes you know, just constant practice.
Yeah.
Practice.
Okay, so in Citrine and then Ciclet, there's like other languages incorporated. I wanted to ask about Ale, you're like, do you have any music growing up in the house that you remember that sort of you feel like may have influenced your sound? Like you were saying jazz and like Latin music. Yeah. Was there anything that was introduced to you that like you heard around family or like when you were younger that made you excited about music?
Me and my dad used to listen to this, I'm pretty sure they're Mexican, it's like this Mexican band called Maná, and they used to sing a lot of like beautiful like romantic Spanish songs, and it was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like alternative rock vibes but like Mexican, and it was fire. And I remember listening to that a lot when I was a kid, and that, I don't know, that has always been in my heart. And also of course like jazz, you know, I listen to like a lot of same singers that Rosie's inspired by, like Sarah Vaughan and Nina Simone, and then like all those people, Billie Holiday. I used to, me and my family, when we were like cooking dinner sometimes, we used to put on like Pandora radio and just like put on like the 60s radio and just like have like all those people, you know, like Aretha Franklin and like Stevie Wonder and like, you know, all those people just constantly playing in the background of like my life as a kid. The first like kind of pop pop band or pop situation that I was introduced to was probably Coldplay. Like, I used to listen to them a lot when I was a kid. I was obsessed with them. I was obsessed with Coldplay, which is so random. But then as I started getting older, I started really like, I don't know, my mom kind of introduced me. She my mom liked R&B as well. And I remember my aunt used to listen to like Erykah Badu, and like Erykah Badu was a huge person that I remember like listening to a lot as I was getting older, like not just a kid anymore, but like developing as a teenager. I found her and I was like, I ran with it. I was obsessed with her, like the roots, like 90s, like R&B and hip hop. And Slum Village, you know, like all those people, I was just like, oh yeah, I belong here. I love it here. This is great. And a lot of bossa nova as well, like Brazilian music, bossa music, and Latin music, like I said. But yeah, those are some people I can remember off top.
Yeah, I feel like people who like create music, honestly any form, but like technical production, like I like a lot of times when I'm asking questions, people will bring up someone like so random. I feel like a lot of past things definitely like subconsciously influence your current music making or your taste. I feel like asking this question is sort of like silly because I will watch your Twitch and I'm like, I know how it goes. But do you feel like your creative process is sort of different, like when you're making a song for yourself versus like working with others? Because,
definitely. When I'm making a song for myself, I have to do like, I don't know,
sort of like a dissection of like, because I could just start with an idea. I could like, either I'll have a clear idea of what I want, or I'll be like, oh, I want to make a dance song. I want to make a house song, or I'm just like messing around and something comes out of me naturally. And then I have to like find the song within itself. I'm like, okay, like what do I want out of this? And I have to ask myself a bunch of questions. Like, you know, like, what is the vibe I'm trying to create? Like, how am I feeling? Like, you know, what am I trying to say? You know, like all these things that, I don't know, come from inside. And like, you have to, and like, I'm a producer as well, as long as, along with being a songwriter and a singer. So like the creative process is much different, because I could be making a song like with all the components at once, if that makes sense, like mm-hmm. songwriting, singing, and producing all at the same time, rather than if I'm working with somebody else, you know, I'm asking them, okay, what is the vibe you want to create? And then I create the vibe, and then they write to it, and then they, you know, sing on it. It's like very like, when I'm doing it for somebody else, it's very like, okay, first I have to make the beat, and then they can write, or, and then they can, you know, sing. But when I'm doing it myself, it's like kind of like a big like blob, where it's like, I could do any of these things. Like, I could produce first, I could write first, I could sing first. What do I want to do first? Like, yeah. There's so many more options. It's
overwhelming.
Yeah, it's like overwhelming. I'm like, what could I could do anything, you know? But with somebody else, it's way more methodical. It's much more like cut and paste of like, okay, this is what you want. Okay, let me execute that. Okay, I executed. Here, now you sing, you know, or now you rap or whatever. So it's I don't know. The process for myself is much more like, it takes me longer. It takes me longer. It's much more like not thoughtful, because it's thoughtful both ways, but it's just more like,
it takes more brain power,
more intentional, you know,
because it's personal to you.
Yeah,
it's easier to make something for somebody else when it's not like necessary,
because they have the intention. Yeah, you know, they have the intention of what they want, so I could just be like, oh, okay, yeah, I can make up for you. Mm-hmm. Rather than like trying to find the intention within yourself, it's like, I feel like that is like half the battle when it comes to creating. It's like, okay, what are we gonna create?
Yeah, because you can create anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even in terms of like depending what it's for, because I feel like sometimes people will just, or like for you, like maybe you'll just like create something just to create, like to practice sort of, versus like deciding you're going to add this song to your EP or whatever.
Yep. With,
by the way, I was gonna ask, how, okay, so you have songs on SoundCloud and then like mm-hmm. Spotify and like all platforms. How do you decide like what to put out on those versus just like SoundCloud? Because I feel like SoundCloud is great for like just wanting to share something because it's good, but maybe not like mixed and mastered to like the fullest or whatever. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I think.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip. Just because it was such a jam-packed interview, I'm still, this whole episode, I'm holding off on playing so many songs. But just because we're comparing Rosie's, or Ale made a joke comparing Rosie's voice to a bird, I was speaking about how beautiful her voice is. I'm going to play a song by her, and it's really good. And she speaks about it later on in the interview. This is Bésame Mucho by Rosie Ramadi.
Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última. Verte junto a mí, piensa que tal vez mañana estaré muy lejos de aquí.
Bésame, bésame mucho.
Boo, jump scare. This is CITR 101.9 FM. I'm going to play Ale Orea's music, but I just had to stop in and say that that Besame Mucho cover by Rosie Ramadi is a cover. I'm going to play some ads, show promos, and then we will be back to the interview.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
Australia and Canada both have wide open spaces and wild sounds that fill them. Join your host, Matt, as he shares brand new tunes and archived classics from the independent music worlds of Australia and Canada on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Listen Tuesdays from 11 p.m. to midnight.
Mixed and mastered to like the fullest or whatever, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think my project took me a long time to conceptualize, and I'm still conceptualizing it, like I'm not done. And so as I was doing that, I was sort of like making songs, and I don't ever want to stop myself from creating anything. You know, it's like, if I feel the need to make elevator music, alternative rock song, I should make it. Does that mean that that is what my sound is? No. Like, maybe I'll make elevator music, you know, fucking whole album. Who knows? But right now, I know that, you know, I'm creating an EP that sort of has like a very distinct sonic world. And that might not fit in with there. If you heard it like tracklist and then you heard that song, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of different, you know, or like maybe this doesn't fit here. So I think it's just kind of like, make something and then I'll be like, oh, maybe this doesn't fit in the world that I'm creating right now, but I still fuck with it. Like, I still want to share it. And like, I still want to, you know, be able to make whatever I want and not feel limited by like, oh, genres or like, this doesn't fit in the world or whatever. It's like, no, like I felt the need to make this, and so I made it, and now people should hear it. So then I just will post it on SoundCloud. Yeah.
I feel like making music is like an exercise. Like, you know, you can apply the same kind of logic to like a painter with drawing sketches. I feel like we just make music to practice, to learn new things. With everything that we make, we learn something, even if it's not necessarily aligned with our sound, but it contributes to what we, our fuller project or our masterpiece or our final painting, which is like an EP, an album, etc., mm-hmm. which has like a full picture, literally, like, yeah. you know, of yeah. like what we're capable of. Whereas like elevator music is like, it's cute and it's fun, it's really exciting to me. And, you know, it's a good exercise.
Yeah. You know,
it's a sketch.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing analogy. I was going to ask, do you have a favorite song or lyric for both of you that you've written that, like, I don't know, that makes you very proud? Because, yeah, women should brag more about their music anyway.
I have one, but it's kind of stupid. So the first song I ever wrote, it's on SoundCloud right now. It's the first thing I've ever posted. I wrote to this Tom Misch beat. I remember it was the first time I ever felt proud of something that I wrote. And I was like, I actually would like listen to it and I would love it. And I was like, wow, like, this is a great feeling. Like feeling like, I don't know. I don't even remember what I necessarily sang about. I think I was singing about, like, I was making an analogy of like a bird mm-hmm. flying. And like, when you see like a bird flying in the air, and kind of like wondering where it's going, and like, I don't know, it was kind of like a lonely song. You're just like kind of like a lone bird, like in
yeah sky, just... I've heard that.
that was the analogy I made, and I remember I just loved it. And it's called Wonder. Yeah, it's called Wonder. And that is my That's my song.
The first line is like, if a bird flies, does it fly forever or something? Wait, maybe.
Oh, you know the song. You know the song.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes, so,
yeah. Yeah, me like holding back when I know the song.
No, I love that. That makes me so happy.
Okay, do you have a favorite song or lyric? Or...
Before Rosie gets the chance to answer my question to her as well, I'm just going to quickly play the song that we were just talking about, Wonder by Ale, which was the first song that she put on SoundCloud or released, I guess. And yeah.
My favorite song that I've written, I think this year, is called Origami.
Ooh.
And
it's not out yet. It's
not out.
But I've seen the playlist.
Yes, I've been making like a lot of like playlists that like the first like couple songs on that playlist like represent the vibe of that song a bit, which is like Chanel by Frank Ocean. Like it's very pink in my brain. But basically the concept of the song is about like, it's like joking about like folding for somebody. And you can fold for somebody like origami. So it's like the lines, the song starts off like precision lines clean, because you have to like make sure the lines are good when you're folding origami. You fold me like origami. And then it's like talking about me turning into a swan. So it says swan wings shoot down my spine. At twilight, we're both taking flight. But my favorite part is the middle section of the song where I'm talking about like us like flying, and like I tied like imagery of like, okay, like you can make origami cranes, and that kind of looks like a swan. And so I said like blinded by white rays like sunlight, cranes holding babies, because like you can fly, and like, you know how when you're like, I don't know, in a lot of like Disney films, they'll like portray like cranes holding like a baby, because that's like how they would like deliver babies or whatever. And then it said like ribbon feet, meaning like our feet have like, because like in Swan Lake, it's a ballet, ribbon feet, ribs are creased, lay your palm on my waist. And then it says like, touch soft in Swan Lakes, feathered with rose beaks, because we have like, because when we're humans, we have like pink lips, you know, our beaks are rose colored. And then pirouette into the sunshine, into my heart.
Wow.
Oh my God. Can I ask when that comes out? Or
Hopefully, well, my next song that I'm releasing is an acoustic song called White Tea. And that's coming out first with a music video, which I'm really excited for. But Origami's coming out after that, hopefully. And that will also have a lot of fun stuff tied to it. And Origami is, I feel like I'm really excited for it, because I feel like it not only represents my songwriting, my singing ability, but also like my production style and like what I like production wise. So yeah, I'm really excited.
Yes. Let's go.
Yay!
Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip. There's only 5 minutes left, and there's like, the timing was off. I am going to just play, I guess, what I have time for, but the rest can be found on YouTube. I'm going to post the entire interview, or I guess everyone I do on YouTube. Yeah, okay, enjoy the rest of this. I'm okay, yeah. No, everything's good. Okay, yeah. Okay, enjoy.
Like,
you know,
vibes. You know, like, and I'm just out there wearing like my crazy makeup and just like wearing my little flowy outfits and being like, hey guys, let's dance. And let's cry.
Music video concept.
No, it is.
What about you, Rosie?
Blue Whales. Stop. I wanted. She's saying that because I love Blue Whales. Like I love them. I feel like I'm akin to them. I don't know why, but anyway. So I feel like my music, I mean,
like it's very romantic, and it's almost like all inspired by the anticipation of love, I feel like. And it's kind of like sitting in that feeling. So like, if you could think about like when you have a crush on somebody and you don't know where things are going, I feel like that's my music in a nutshell.
That's cute. That's true though. Yeah, and it's always.
I also just realized that it cut off the question. I was asking what they think their music represents, if it could be in an imaginary world or this one, what it looks like to them.
Yeah. Yes. It's very like floral in like a fresh way. I love 1930s styles and silhouettes, and like, yeah, basically if Snow White was edgy.
Yes.
And like geared and like leaned into a bit of an electronic sound that's kind of like James Blakey. Yeah.
Also, yeah, thank you for sharing those. Also, Me When I Lie, that's not the last question. I was going to ask if, like, there was a milestone for you guys that you were like, whoa, whoa,
I feel like I need to do that more, honestly, because lately I've been having a lot of those moments where it's just like, holy shit, me 6 months ago would have been like dying for this.
Literally.
And now I'm like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, like
it's really hard to sit in the moment and be like, oh, this is like a big deal.
In June, I was like, by the end of the year, I would just think it would be really cool if I hit 10K on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then I did it.
Yeah.
And it happened much faster than I thought. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, who are you? You guys like me?
You hear me?
You guys like me?
Ah, we're waiting. We're sitting
what?
In a classroom. And one of the 10,000 people is no name. Huge milestone.
I mean, talk about this
because I literally said with this. My name's like album in college, like my last quarter.
She follows me.
You.
Why me?
Because you're an amazing, talented producer. Literally.
No, that was a huge milestone.
When I saw that, I was like, maybe they're friends because like she's worked with like Joseph Chilliams and they're and so.
That's why I met her. I met her because of Joseph. I had told him, I was like, bro, like No Name is like one of my biggest inspirations. And then we were at a party and Joseph was like, here, come here. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just started following him. And all of a sudden I'm in front of Monty Booker and No Name. And I'm just standing there. And I'm like, I didn't know this is who you were introducing me to. You didn't give me a warning.
There was no warning.
I was just like, hello, hi. And they were like, hey, what's up? They were being so nice. I was like, I just have to let you know I've been listening to your music for so long. I'm the better Dan right now. And they were just like, oh, that's such a, you know, being so nice. And then I had a conversation with No Name. She was such a sweetheart. And then like a couple weeks later, she followed me. And I was like, I would die for you.
Just casually getting introduced.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip. It's 9 o'clock, so I guess this is over. The way I had to end it on that note, that little cliffhanger, I had to bring in No Name. I wanted to play more music. I wanted to play No Name, but that's okay. This was really fun. And you can find the full interview on YouTube if you're curious to know what happens next. But yeah, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you, Maya. She's cheering outside. Yeah. Okay, thank you, everyone. Have a good night. Crowdflip on Instagram, YouTube. Sorry, shameless show promo. Okay, goodbye.